So they set out to the land of the Gerasenes, which is directly opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out of the boat, he was met by a madman from the local town. This man was the victim of demons. Now, he hadn't worn clothes for a long time or lived in a home. He lived in a cemetery. And when he saw Jesus, he screamed and he fell on the ground and he said, "Don't go messing with me. You're Jesus, Son of the High God, and you've got no business with me." Now, he said this because Jesus had started to order the unclean spirit out of him. Time and time again, the demon had thrown this man into convulsions. He was under a constant guard. He was chained and shackled. But crazed and driven mad by the demons, he would break those bonds. And Jesus said to him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "Mob, because there's just so many demons." Now, these demons were scared that Jesus was going to cast them into the bottomless pit. But grazing on a hillside nearby was a herd of pigs. So they asked Jesus, "Would you order us into those pigs?" And Jesus gave the order. But it was just so much worse for the pigs than it was for the man. Crazed, they just ran straight off the hillside into the lake, and they all drowned. So the people tending the pigs, well, they're scared for their lives. They just bolted, and they told that story in town and country, and so everyone came out to see what was happening. But when they arrived, they find this man from whom the demons has been sent just sitting at Jesus' feet, decently clothed, and making sense. I mean, there was a holy moment. And for a short time, they were more reverent than they were curious. And the people who had seen what had happened, well, they told the story of how that demoniac had been saved. But later, a great many people from the Gerasene countryside came out to Jesus, and they asked him to leave. It was just too much change, too fast, and they were scared. So Jesus gets in the boat, and he starts to head off, but the man from whom the demon had been cast wanted to come with him. And he said, "No, you go back and tell everyone what God has done in you." And so he went back and he preached all over town what Jesus had done in him. Now, this is Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39 of the Message version.
Would you all join me in a word of prayer? Jesus, with just words, you set people free. As with just words, you spoke all things into existence and hold them together in your hands. Lord, we need you to hold us together and we need you to set us free. We pray that your spirit would be given in this space at this time, that you would open our ears to hear whatever it is that you have to say to us, that you would name the legion or the mob that would claim our identities, and that you would cast it out, that we might sit at your feet in our right minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Rachel. I don't know where Rachel is, but thank you, Rachel, for the gift of the scripture. What a precious gift that is. So in reflecting on this story all week long, the Lord gave me a great gift of probably four different conversations that brought clarity to me as to what I believe the Lord to be saying, certainly to me, I think also to us, through this passage, which for me is a common story. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't, but this is one of the remarkable things that I find time and time again in the scriptures, is that God speaks through this book. God did not just speak this book into existence. God speaks, present tense, through this living and active gift of scripture. And in ways that I've never heard this story, this week God brought it to life for me in these conversations. And I was reminded in those conversations of a very simple point of our life together as a church. Transformation. The very simple point of our life together as a church is transformation. According to the story of the scriptures, the story of God, God's MO is transformation. God is in the business of transforming light or darkness into light, chaos into order, death into life, oppression into freedom, and enemies into friends. God is in the business of making all things new. And at the heart of all of that is God's intention to transform each of us. Each of us. You and me. Ever more and more into the image and the likeness of Jesus. And that is just another way of saying that God is in the business of restoring our humanity, of bringing us to life, of drawing us into deeper communion and friendship with God and with each other, which is all just one way of saying God is in the business of giving us everything we would ever want for ourselves if we could see the big picture. Are you with me? Transformation is at the center of God's desire and intention for us. So the question is transformation at the center of our own desire for ourselves, for our church, for our community, and for our world? Is our heart lined up with God's heart in this? And if not, if we are not about transformation, if we're not desiring transformation, if we're not seeking transformation, then what in the world are we doing here? It's a beautiful snowy morning. We could be in bed with coffee. There are better things to do. If not for transformation. Transformation is the simple point of life with God. It is the simple point of our life with each other. And it is the simple point of the story that we've been given in the text today. I mean, in this story, Jesus comes to a land called Gerasene or Gerasa. He meets a man whose life is in desperate need of transformation. I mean, think about this man that's described as living in the tombs. In the account of this event in the Gospel of Mark, Mark adds the detail that he cuts himself with stones. I mean, this man's self-hatred is so deep that he mutilates himself. He lives among the dead, completely isolated from any sense of community. This man is out of control. He is driven by impulses that make the possibility of relationships and community impossible. This man is living dead. His identity has been hijacked by a legion of demons, by a mob of demons. And when Jesus asks this man his name, we discover that the man's entire identity has become wrapped up in his suffering, in his loneliness, in his madness. When asked who he is, when asked for his name, the man can only name his demons. I am legion. I am mob. How often is that us? How often is it you? How deeply do you identify with the things that bind and oppress and consume you? Such that when you're asked who you are, who you truly are, you are also tempted to say, I am, and then name something that diminishes your humanity. I am unlovely. I am unworthy. I'm addicted to pornography or drugs or alcohol or food or social media or my work. I am insecure. I am afraid. I'm lonely. I'm undesirable. I'm a disappointment. I'm angry. I'm hopeless. I am faithless. I am weak. I am unforgivable. I am unable to forgive. I am my work. I am my body. I am my social media self. I am a performance. I am a failure. As a friend, as a spouse, as a student, as a parent, I am trapped in my feelings, in my anxieties, in my fears, habits, in a toxic relationship. I'm sick. I'm a victim. I am less than, I am not enough, I am rejected, I am legion, I am mob. This story is about us and the lies that we tell ourselves and the lies that we believe, the lies that will claim us, that will constrict us, that will bind and oppress and consume us. This man is us. At some point and in some way, all of us have our identities hijacked by the things that bind and oppress and consume. At some point and in some way, every single one of us come to believe that these things define us. At some point and in some way, all of us believe that we are legion. And when legion becomes our identity, transformation is our deepest need. That's why it's the simple point of our life with God. So to this man and to all of us, Jesus comes and Jesus calls out our demons and Jesus calls out everything that would falsely claim our identity, everything that would bind and oppress and consume us, everything that would threaten to define us. And Jesus says to each of us, "What is your name?" What is your name? And in that question, I hear Jesus asking, do you know your true identity? Do you know who you really are? Do you know that your demons do not define you? Do you know that you are mine? Do you know that I'm here to set you free? Do you know that I delight in you? Do you know that I'm here to tell you the truth of who you are? Do you know that transformation is my gift to you? Do you know that in me, that with me, that because of me, you are a new creation? What is your name? When Jesus calls out this man's demons, the man yells out, "Son of the Most High God, what have you to do with me?" And then the man begs Jesus to, quote, not torment him. And in that request not to be tormented, we see something really significant about the work of transformation. Namely, that transformation is always uncomfortable. And therefore, transformation will always feel at least a little bit frightening, at least a little bit like a threat. And like the man in the story, all of us will be tempted against our own best interests, against everything we would ever want for ourselves if we could see the big picture. We will be tempted in the call to transformation, to see transformation as torment. We'll be tempted to resist it, to cling to the things that we know, to hold on to our false identities, to stay in the patterns that leave us living in the tombs. I mean, do you know that about yourself? Have you experienced that? Do you know that in the call to become more than who you are, you're tempted to shrink back for what it might cost you, for the vulnerability that it might require of you, for the risk that it entails, for the fear of failing or being exposed? Transformation requires letting go of what is familiar. And it will always be uncomfortable. I mean, naming our addictions, asking for help, standing up for ourselves, confronting our fears, leaving toxic relationships, choosing new priorities, reorienting our deepest beliefs about ourselves, and maybe harder, our deepest beliefs about other people, opening up to new possibilities, walking paths that aren't yet known, receiving and extending forgiveness, embracing the unfamiliar. I mean, transformation is uncomfortable. Transformation can feel like a threat. And so we, like this man, find ourselves tempted to say, please don't torment me. Please, no, Jesus, please. But transformation is the only hope that we have of getting out of the tombs and receiving the gift of life that all of us deeply long for. So when the swine herders saw what had happened, they ran off and they told it in the city and in the country. And then people came to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. The transformation that Jesus brings into our lives means a calling away from everything that could possibly be called sin. Namely, calling away from everything that threatens to hijack our identities, everything that diminishes the abundant life that God has made us for, that we all yearn for. And so in this story, we see that Jesus brings a reversal to everything that was destroying this man. Everything that was threatening this man, we see come undone. The demon-possessed man is no longer possessed by demons. I mean, the one who screamed at Jesus is now sitting at his feet. The one who was naked is now clothed. The one who is out of control is now in his right mind. It's a story of complete renewal. Everything in our lives that is out of sync with God's desire for us, which is to say, out of sync with everything we would want for ourselves, if we could see the big picture. Everything that is out of sync, Jesus intends to reorder and to recraft and to bring it into congruence with his perfect and pleasing will for us, for our sake, for our liberation, for the flourishing of our lives. When we submit to Jesus' uncomfortable gift of transformation, Jesus will call for the undoing of everything that binds us. Nothing oppressive will remain. Nothing that's consuming will be untouched. Jesus does not intend partial freedom, friends. Jesus does not intend limited flourishing. Jesus intends, desires, and is intent upon our total transformation, our total healing, our total liberation. That's what we mean in the Christian tradition when we talk about salvation. We don't just mean getting to go to heaven when you die. We mean the total liberation and transformation of everything that is breaking our lives and our communities right here and right now. Jesus is present in the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the transformation is for now. Eternity includes this moment, and the transformation is for now. Friends, that's the content of discipleship. The rest of our lives are to be a journey of ever-deepening freedom and healing and strengthening and security and joy and love. The way of Jesus is the way of transformation, and we are given the gift of getting to call it our way of life. It is everything we would ever want for ourselves if we could see the big picture. Amen? In this story, there is one final element of transformation. It says this, then the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The one who was isolated, the one without community, the one living in the tombs, now returns home. Everything sad in this man's life is coming untrue. In this story, we find that transformation is our deepest need. Transformation, we find, is Jesus' gift to us. And it's important to name it that way, friends. That transformation, in being transformed, we are primarily recipients, not agents. This is a gift we receive more than a feat to accomplish. And we can twist this so fast, we can get into a mode where we try to transform ourselves, and it will only lead to frustration. And self-help is nice to a degree and always leaves us wanting. Transformation runs deeper than everything I can do in myself. And that's what I need. I need God to make something beautiful out of me that I cannot make in myself. Can a garden come up from this ground? God, I hope so, but I know I can't make it happen. And if you've ever looked at yourself honestly enough, you know that to be true of yourself. Transformation is Jesus' gift to us. It is not our task to accomplish. We find in this story that transformation is always uncomfortable, and that transformation is to touch every broken part of our lives. But in this end of the story where Jesus sends the man back home, we find that there is one other truth to transformation, and it is transformation always calls for witness. The story must be told. The goodness of God has to be made known. The transforming power of Jesus must be declared. We are called to be witnesses to all that God is doing, to set us free, all that the Lord is doing, to heal us and to make us new. Our transformation is our testimony. And so may it be that we would join the psalmist in Psalm 107, where it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We can't be quiet about what God is doing in our lives. Jesus says to this man, no, don't come with me. You go home and you tell them what the Lord has done. And now this man is not only restored to community, he is restored to the dignity of a vocation, that he is a witness to the living God. This is part of transformation. Transformation calls for a witness. So may it be, Citywell, may it be that we will, like the man in this story, fall at Jesus' feet. May it be that we will hear the Lord call out every demon that would presume to claim our identity. May it be that we will be able to name the legion that binds us, that oppresses us, that seeks to consume us. May it be that we would be so deeply aware of our need for transformation that we would receive Jesus' gift and be willing to endure the discomfort it requires. May it be that there would be no broken part of our lives left untouched, but that we would be brought completely to life by being fully transformed into the image and the likeness of Jesus. And like the transformed person in this story, may we become witnesses to the transforming power of Jesus. May it be, Citywell, to the glory of God. Amen.